Ganging Up on Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Google is, without a doubt, the 800-pound gorilla of search. Roughly two-thirds of all online searches go through Google. But now, someone is taking a shot at the mammoth from Mountain View. The Financial Times reports News Corp wants to remove its content from Google. News Corp owns Fox and the Wall Street Journal, and it's looking to team up with an 800-pound gorilla of its own. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more.
News Corp wants to get paid for its newspaper content available online. Its owner, Rupert Murdoch, has already tried charging for access to his publications like the Wall Street Journal. Now he has a new plan. The Financial Times reports his company is in discussions to take its content from Google and move it over to Microsoft search engine Bing. The talks are in the early stages, but the idea is that Microsoft might pay to feature News Corp's papers. Caroline Wiertz of the Cass School of Business says this could drive other media companies to do the same thing.
If we then come into a world where you can't basically Google all content anymore and get it for free, then I think consumers would be incentivized. And News Corp is large enough to make that first move, and I think they realize that.
For now, it seems this is just about news content. But for Microsoft, this is one way to chip away at Google's dominance. The Bing search engine accounted for nearly 10% of all searches last month. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
If you Google, or Bing, credit cards this morning, you'll see some interesting news. Credit reporting agency TransUnion says last quarter, late payments on credit cards dropped for the first time in a decade in this country. The average amount dropped, too, to $5,600. And a mixed market for the markets, a mixed morning for the markets. European markets are up thanks to reports of growth in the Eurozone's service sector. London's FTSE is up 1.3%. Germany's DAX has added 1.5%. U.S. markets ended last week on a sour note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.1%. The head of the International Monetary Fund says this morning the recovery is still weak, and he's warning governments not to shut off the stimulus too soon. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
IMF Chief Dominic Strauss-Kahn told business leaders in London today that the global economy is improving. But he said it's still too early for governments to turn off the spigot just yet. And he said central banks should keep their interest rates low for some time to come. Better to err on the side of caution, he said. The IMF boss warned there are still many problems besetting the global economy, like high unemployment and large budget deficits. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank says Strauss-Kahn is right to be gloomy.
There may still be another leg of the housing crisis to come. The prime mortgage business in the US doesn't look too great. There's still more in the housing sector in Europe to come. There are many things still to be resolved and things that could go seriously wrong.
This morning, Strauss-Kahn said that with little sign of inflation on the horizon, governments and central banks can afford to pump even more money into the global economy. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A little vampire love was packing them into theaters this weekend. The Twilight sequel, New Moon, pulled in $140 million. It's one of the biggest openings in U.S. box office history. Top spot, though, still belongs to Batman film, The Dark Knight.
Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
If you look at a map of the New York City subway system, you'll see one big part of Manhattan's not covered, the Far East Side. There have been plans in the works to build a subway line there since the 20s, but every time it's about to get built, the economy turns down and the plans get shoved aside. Until now. As Jeremy Hobson reports.
That's the sound of subway construction deep below the high-rises on Manhattan's far Upper East Side. Despite tight budgets, it's actually happening. The biggest expansion of the New York City subway since the 1940s. The Metropolitan Transit Authority's Jeremy Soffin says it'll be worth the $4.4 billion price tag. And that's just for the first few stations.
If you put something aside every time there's a fiscal crisis, then it's an entire generation before you can pick it up again.
And he says New York needs this subway. Right now, the only line serving the entire east side of Manhattan is the Lexington Avenue line.
We have approximately 1.7 million trips taken on the line on an average day, which, to give you some perspective, is more than the number of trips on the Washington and Chicago systems combined, the entire systems.
Other cities hoping to expand their transit systems are having a tougher time getting funding in this economy. Robert Puentes is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution's Metropolitan Policy Program.
The unfortunate reality is that we're facing not just cuts in service in many of these places, but they're also having to cut back on some of the expansion plans.
New York was lucky. Most of the funding for Phase 1 of the Second Avenue line came before the Great Recession. Though even as construction's gotten underway, the finish line continues to slip back. Benjamin Kaback follows every toss and turn on his blog, SecondAvenueSagas.com.
Do you think that you will ever be able to blog about the day when one of the stations finally opens?
I think I will. I think we'll see some stations open in 5 or 6 years or 7 years. Whether or not we'll ever be able to ride the Second Avenue subway from Hanover Square all the way up to 125th Street, I wouldn't put too much money on that.
But voters from New York to Phoenix do seem willing to put money into public transit expansion. Again, Robert Puentes.
These are the kind of bold investments that this nation used to make a few decades ago. I do sense that there is some desire to move back to those kinds of investments.
He says the important thing for elected officials is to make sure taxpayers can see results. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Michael Jackson's iconic white glove will be waving goodbye to the U.S. Jackson wore it when he debuted The Moonwalk in 1983 at a Motown television special. A Hong Kong hotel magnate paid about $350,000 for the glove at auction, and he plans to display it at a resort in Macau. If you have any thoughts, send us an email. We'd love to hear them. letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.